Here we go, everybody. The John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show, starring Sherry Elicker. But let's not forget the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar who works so hard to choose a letter of the day. She just toils over your words, your letters, to choose the letter of the day. The great honor comes to you from the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar with a little help from Sherry. Diving in the Jacob, can you edit that? Because a teeny tiny is writing that intro, and it seems a little long on her side. It's just imbalance. If you could kind of work on that a little bit.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Sherry. I didn't get a chance to proofread that one.
That's okay. I come to expect it.
Hey, teeny. Teeny, come on. I see you. There she is. Say hi to Sherry.
Hello.
Hello.
Stop.
Wow. Hey, here comes Ry Roller, Tuck Mariners and Seahawks. Come on, Roller! Nice transition, Andrew.
Talking sports with Ry. He's your go-to guy for any game or feat of athletic season. Talking sports with Ry. Give the guy a try. Although he only got his job for nepotism. He'll tell you the score. Holding a 2x4.
Ooh, a lot of sports to talk about. Ry Roller, you've been a Mariners fan since I think you were 3 months along in mom's tummy, and you became a Mariners fan. And that was the last time they were in the playoffs. That's when you were actually in vitro. So this is a big moment for you because you and Aaron have never given up on the Mariners, and explain to anybody out there that has not been paying attention why this is so significant right now in Mariners history.
Yeah, well, it's just exciting that we're talking about the Mariners on September 30th, because usually this time, most years, it's, okay, Mariners season is over. You know, right. It was supposed to be their year, but it wasn't. What are the Seahawks up to? But, I mean, this year has been different, and there were certainly some downs where it was like, oh, okay, you know, it's not going to be our year again. But it was a resilient team. The bullpen has been excellent all year. And it's just as far as the stakes go. I mean, 20 years without a postseason appearance is just incredible. I mean, like, it just never – it's the longest drought in all four major sports. We keep hearing that.
Yeah.
And for anyone who doesn't watch baseball, maybe they haven't watched a lot of the games this year, I would encourage them to watch tonight, because if the Mariners do happen to win, they will make the post. They'll clinch a postseason berth.
So the Mariners have,
The
Mariners have had 45 seasons. They've made the playoffs four times, zero championships. So what are the chances? And I think the Orioles have to lose, right? And how does this thing line up in order for people to understand what the Mariners need to do to clinch this?
Yeah, well, since we've been so solid all year and our record is pretty good, we really control our own destiny. That's a big sports cliche. But if we don't need the Orioles to lose. If we just win outright tonight, which we're playing Oakland, they've been bad. They're a horrible team this year. They're already out of it, and they have a not-so-great pitcher on the mound. So if we just win tonight, we're in. And even if we don't win, we lose to Oakland somehow, and the Orioles lose, we'll still have clinched. But I'm hoping that the Mariners just win this one for the fans, just to see what that reaction's like, because it's going to be quite the spectacle tonight.
Yeah. Do you wish you were there?
I do. I wish I was there, not here, surviving a hurricane.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I completely forgot about that.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
We're having Ryan to talk about
my
sports,
bad.
And he's living through the much bigger news event right now.
I would rather talk about sports.
I am remiss as a father. I must say my bad, not remembering that you're in Florida and the hurricane came through and devastated the state.
Any
questions
raft,
you want to ask him about that, Father of the Year? I mean, maybe are you okay? Is the structure around you upright?
I'm sure he was very busy at Home Depot selling plywood. Didn't even notice the storm going overhead.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I'm actually at a food bank in a church right now talking about the Mariners-Oakland game tonight.
You only survived because you were able to build yourself a raft at the Home Depot that you worked at. Right.
After the helicopter really picked you up off the roof. Yes.
All right, okay. I was busy with other things. I had stuff going on. Seriously, I didn't just put the two together because I don't like to think about my son living in Florida. To me, it always seems like that's the place people that are – that have weird mustaches or they're really old go. And I don't want to think about Ryan in Florida. So I just try to block it out. I would think of him in somebody in Missouri. So there you go. So he was perfectly fine if he was in Missouri. All right, let's go. So that's it for the Mariners. And real quick, the fact that the Seahawks are taking on Detroit, we were going to try to get somebody on from Detroit. There's some guy who's like the super fan from Detroit or something. I thought, and I was going to have you debate him. I thought, I'm not going to put you through it, especially since you had to go through a hurricane. Oh, woe's me. So the Mariners, Detroit, Seahawks, Detroit, you expect the Hawks to lose this one as well?
I do. It's a similar story to last week. We're just outmatched. And this team, and especially this defense, they have a lot of potential, but it's for the here and now. Potential is not going to help us, you know, this Sunday. And it's a familiar foe in Jared Goff. He was, of course, with the Rams for 5 years, 5-4 record against the Seahawks. And, I mean, he's playing some of his best ball. I mean, the stats don't totally agree with that. But just watching him last week, he seems to be comfortable getting the ball to his playmakers. Rushing offense, 7th in the league. And the Seahawks rushing defense is 31st. So this is going to be ugly. We just got a lot of players who aren't really NFL starter caliber yet. But they're being asked to start due to injuries and just lack of depth. So, again, I think the Seahawks get shellacked in this one. I'm going to be bold here and say Detroit drops 41 on us, and we might get a garbage time touchdown, maybe a field goal here and there. I'll go 41-31.
The guy from the Seattle Times, hasn't he picked the Seahawks to win?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess you're too busy doing something else. But, yeah, I think he says Seahawks win, although Seahawks are down by 4. So, right, Rye, score down, Rye, you get it correct, you're going to get cookies. I'm no longer sending out Starbucks gift cards. Cookies coming your way, okay? And that'd be nice. You could share that cookies with everybody else decimated by the hurricane.
You can pass them around the shelter.
Okay, you know what, Sherry? I hear it in your voice. You're judging me, thinking, why weren't you more concerned about your son? But Rye will explain to you, we've kind of a hands-off family when it comes to natural disasters.
Well, and that's true, because the last thing you need when you go through that is your family. I mean, the only thing that, when it comes to support, why bother with your family? Why do you need them? You know, when you've got FEMA and the government. And, you know, politicians helping you. You certainly wouldn't want to bother your family with a natural disaster. Come on. Dumb.
Yeah. What can dad do other than send me cookies if I get the Seahawks score right?
Well, you do make a good point there.
Okay. Andrew, sad music again. I don't want to have to make – why is every Friday have to be like father-son counseling time? Look what you do, Sherry.
If I had known Rye was in Florida, I would have checked on Rye. So, I mean, I didn't start this. The fact that you didn't remember that he lived there.
I mean, here's something I just remembered. One of my dad's friends actually checked in on me. their only relationship to me is through my dad. They texted me asking how I was and what was going on and if I was all right. But nothing from dad other than, hey, can you do the radio at 5:00?
And here's a bag of carrots for Halloween.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to own that, okay? It on the surface, it looks bad.
but beneath the surface, when you dig a little deeper, it's okay. when you get to the really deep part of it, which is you were too busy, then it's okay.
It's like the eye of the hurricane. You know, in the center of it, it's very peaceful. And that's where I like to think of myself and my relationship with Rye, the eye of the hurricane.
That's the same one that could have devastated me.
Hold on. Right. At any time, was your life threatened? Were you afraid you're going to get hit by flying debris? Or blah, 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 blah.
No. No. But if I was, you would not have been my first call.
Because I would tell you to toughen up. All right? If anything, this is good for you. You learn experiences.
Yeah, it's good for you.
Can we actually ask, Rye, because we just had a lengthy conversation about some of your early Halloweens, Rye, and the how your dad managed to avoid you ever getting exposed to candy. Do you have any memory of this? He described you as very young, so maybe you wouldn't even remember.
The story that I tell people about my Halloweens as a childhood were we would go out and we would do the trick-or-treat thing, and then we would come back, and I don't know what he told you guys, but we would come back, we would lay all the candy out on the floor, and then my dad would go to the ATM and withdraw, you know, hundreds of dollars, or not even hundreds, he was like lowballing us totally. He'd be like, all right, $5 for all the Snickers, okay, $6 for all the Reese's, and just at the end of the night, like, we would have maybe 20 bucks and no candy.
That pretty much lined up with he owned that.
Remember
that.
I dressed up, I put on like a suit, like a fancy suit and stuff, and I'd come downstairs, but I would play you and Charlie off each other. How much for the Reese's? And you'd be like, $3. And Charlie, I go, three? All right. What do you say, Charlie? She's two. I'm like, I'm buying Reese's, and I buy the candy. And then, you'd have no money left. You'd have only like a handful of dollars, but no candy.
Yeah, we'd just be left with, like, the Almond Joys or whatever you didn't like.
Skittles. Or the what are they? Smarties. Remember Smarties?
Smarties.
What horrible candy that was.
John, you acted like, why would you not buy the ones you don't like? Because you made it seem like you weren't eating any of them anyway, and you were just taking them.
I wasn't eating them, but I don't want to bring in crappy candy to Cairo Radio. I don't want to be one of those people that brings in Tootsie Rolls and leaves them on the table like, here, they're too crappy for my family, but good enough for you, Andrew. They treat Andrew like crap around there, feeding Andrew crappy candy. I brought in good stuff. I don't bring the bad stuff in. I take the bad stuff just throw it away. I remember the one time the kids went out and nobody came to our house, and I spent money on really, really big candy bars, not the little junky ones. And then I drove around the neighborhood because nobody came to the house because it was too dark. And I remember that roller, and I ran around driving in the car trying to get kids to take candy from the car. And you told me that looked bad.
You were a guy in a car handing out candy to children?
Right, we'll explain.
I think we were camped out of our house for like 4 hours out front trying to scare someone with like a chainsaw without the chain on it. And then that wasn't working because we sort of lived at the end of the road. So then you went out and with this weird outfit offering kids candy. Maybe it was your dog a puppy made out of candy joke that you loved, but I was not there for that.
Yeah, I know you were out walking around with your friends. No, I was driving around in the car, and I was trying to get kids to take Baby Ruth because I spent so much money. But I was hiding in the bushes, and then I hid inside a box, but nobody came for hours. I couldn't catch anybody, like, to fool anybody. And then I went out into the streets and tried to give out candy. But these kids have been so programmed by the system not to take candy from strangers in cars that they didn't take the candy.
It was like a social experiment.
Exactly. Yeah. Same thing about like hurricane barreling down on your son. What do you do? You know, and then there's a whole bunch of boxes to check.
That's true.
Okay.
I mean, that's true. That's overblown. I mean, come on. Why do you need to do that? It's just a hurricane. I mean, it's not only just a hurricane. It's the like worst one ever. But that's all right. There's no expectation.
Sherry, let me tell you something. You know what he has? He's got a story to tell. All right. And that sometimes is more valuable than a functioning arm, leg, or eye, okay?
I mean, who's he going to tell the story to? A therapist? I don't know.
Okay, that's it. We're not even talking sports anymore. Yeah, hey, Rye, true. I'm glad you're well.
Yep, doing great.
Right if you get work, okay? All right, get back to the food bank. And don't be afraid to elbow people for bologna sandwiches.
Got it.
Hey, right. Have fun laying on that blanket.
Yeah, my life raft. Made out of plywood.
Love, love.
Ring, ring.
Love, ring, ring. Love, love.
Okay, go Mariners. All right, there he goes. Okay, Sherry, you can't keep doing this. He's there to talk sports. He's not there to talk about some forgetful moment.
Okay, I did start it. You started it. I didn't even know he was in Florida until it occurred to you. Oh, wait. Yeah, are you okay? Oh, yeah.
You know, he slipped in there a joke from my dad. My father called me once. I said, Dad, where are you? You sound like you're in a bus station. I'm in the hospital. I said, oh, my God, are you okay? Yeah. Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, I'm talking to you, right? I said, yeah, but what are you in there for? I had a heart attack, according to the doctors. I'm like, okay, well, they seem to know, don't they? Yeah. When'd you have the heart attack? What is today? I said, Monday. Okay, I had it on Thursday. Thursday? And it's Monday? Why are you calling me now? Why don't you call me on Thursday? Hey, last time I checked, you're not a cardiologist. I was like, okay, I know. But I mean, like, how about keeping us in the loop on this stuff? What are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to operate on me? You going to get him to fly in and operate on me? I'm like, no. All right, then that's fine. I got to bother. You're too busy. You got other things going on. So that's why Rye slipped in there. You know, what am I going to? What am I?
Yeah. It was He's a quick realist. Thing.
Yeah, what are you going to do, huh? What are you going to do? Come in there and, like, fly a helicopter over top of me and pull me out of there?
He has a point. Even if you could, I don't know that you would.
I'd drop bags kind of carrots busy. On him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay.
All righty. Writing to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 1-888-973-5.
Come on. A little bit more. You can do it. A little bit more.
Bah. 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 7-6. By the way, Andrew, feel free to go all out for the Send Us Your Letter song. Apparently, people really enjoy being annoyed by that. So how about that, huh?
Okay.
Big surprise.
Okay.
Okay. Could you sound less excited about the,
okay.
the whole thing? There you go. Hey, big surprise. I think two things. It's really weird in this story from CBS that they go back and forth between the word fetus and baby. I don't know why, but the thing fetus is apparently like carrots, but not kale. Not so much. Ultrasound shows. So how do they know the difference between the carrot and the kale and the baby's like and dislike, Sherry?
It's a weird story. They used 4D ultrasound scans of about 100 pregnant women. This was done in England. And when the babies were exposed to carrot flavors, they showed laughter faces. And they have some pictures of the babies' faces looking like they're smiling. When they were exposed to kale flavors, they showed cry face responses. Mm-hmm. So the babies were frowning and looked unhappy. So what they think is that babies can taste and smell things in the womb. Okay, so it's the fluid that comes from the mother into the baby. And the reason they did this experiment was they wanted to find out, or they wanted to see if they could establish food preferences while in utero. So, for instance, if the baby doesn't like kale, if you could then keep exposing the baby to kale, then eventually maybe they will end up liking it, and then they'll make healthier choices when they are born. And when you're weaning the baby off of, you know, formula, you can sort of know. So how they're going to do this on a wide scale, anything, hard to say.
We live this. You don't have to do it in while the kid is still in the womb. We did it with our kids. So we never, for 2 years, no salt, no sugar. From the time they were born, no sugar. Perfect. They ate a thing called kale pops, which we would take kale, put it in a blender, put water in it, grind it all up until it was like a mushy green stuff, and then freeze it in ice cube trays, and they would walk around and eat them. They had no salt and no sugar. So their palate wasn't sort of, we didn't dial it in, calibrate it to have a sugary or a sweet sense. It was all the stuff in the middle. So carrots were like a big treat because they tasted sweet to them. And kale was a regular thing. So they would walk around eating these things all the time, kale pops. And other kids in the neighborhood like, oh, my, what's that all over your face? Can I have some of that? And Charlie and Rabbit like, sure, come on in. They would go in there and then give these kids these kale pops. And they'd be like, run out of the house. Because at Halloween, I told the story that we didn't let them have candy. So I went ahead of time and I gave every house a bag, the little bag of carrots. So every time we would show up like a big group of kids, we're like, okay, look for Spider-Man and Cinderella. Those are the guys that are going to be in the back. They'll be with us. Just only give them carrots. So everybody else is getting like Snickers bars and fun size Musketeer and stuff. And they're like, oh, and there's Spider-Man and Cinderella. Okay. Hang on, guys. Got something for you. Here you go. And they drop these little orange, you know, or little carrots, the little baby carrots in there. Every house, they got the exact same thing.
And how did this go over when they were talking to their friends and the friends were like, wow, I got M&Ms, I got a whole size Reese's.
When they're little like that, they don't do a whole lot of like, this. We only were only to pull this off for a couple of years. The saddest moment was when they said, we thought like five houses, that would be enough. And all of a sudden Charlie goes, can we keep going? I was like, yeah, well, sure, we'll go. You want to go around the corner? Well, it's pretty scary. Somebody, lots of bears and scary stuff, but okay. And then I realized I hadn't hit those houses ahead of time, so I had to reach into their bag. I go, hey, let's see what you got. What they had was six bags of carrots. I had to take two out of their bag and run to the house ahead of them and say, hi, we're the Curlys. We live right down the street. Oh, good. You know who we are? My kids are coming out right now. We don't want to have snacks. No sugar, no salt, nothing like that. Can you just get these carrots when they show up at the door? Thanks a lot. And I'd run back. Okay, guys, hey, let's go to that house. Let's go. We go in there, and they're like, trick or treat. And they're like, oh, yeah, hang on a second. Here. Hey, your dad just gave us this. Here's that for you.
Didn't they go home and go, wow, every house had the exact same thing?
It was like their first Halloween, sure. You're really kind of trying to give my kids far more credit than they deserve. They're young. They're little, and they've been breathing their own oxygen through masks for an hour and a half.
Okay.
The saddest part was this. I know. I had to keep reaching in the bag when they wanted to go to other places. And at one point, Charlie says, sadly, I don't feel like I'm – like the bag isn't getting heavier. I was like, how can that be? She goes – I don't know. It just doesn't. It feels the same. It just, we keep going to houses and it feels the same. I'm like, huh? Spooky. Yeah,
that's a Halloween trick.
Ooh, maybe the ghost of carrots is coming to get them. Yeah. We went home and they're like, just a whole bunch of carrots. And they didn't know. It was the first time. They thought that's what Halloween was. Bags of carrots at every house.
Oh, boy, were they in for a great surprise and a lot of resentment years later. Did they ever get the real Halloween experience?
Oh, yeah. Experience? And then I would come down. I would put on a three-piece suit and a top hat. I'd pencil in a mustache, and I called myself Mr. Moneybags, looking to buy candy. And I got some candy, and I'm buying candy. I got cash for candy. They'd have all their candy laid out on the floor. And then I'd go, who's selling Snickers bars? And Rob would go, I'll sell my Snickers bars. Great. I'm buying all Snickers bars for $2. And then Charlie goes, I'll sell mine for $1. And I go, all right, buying Snickers bars for $1. Right. No. I have 50 cents. And so I just played one off the other. We went all the way down and I got the best prices for all the candy, would wipe out all the stuff and give them all the money. And then I'd take a giant pumpkin and I put it on Charlie's head.
Wait. Okay. I get the bribe for the candy. What's the pumpkin?
I don't know. It's another tradition where I would take a pumpkin and cut the bottom out of it and then stick it on Charlie's head. And then one day it got stuck on her head. And then we agreed we were never going to do that again because she's getting to the age where young girls don't like pumpkins stuck on their head. That's what Lacey said. Or my mom, I forget who said it. But then I continue to chase Rye and throw him in a giant box of pumpkins every single year.
Yeah, we have video, I think, somewhere on our social media. What would you do with all of the candy that you bought from your children?
I would give it away.
Okay.
Take it into work. Jacob. Remember that? We do that at Cairo. You come in the morning and Ursula's got a big pile of candy. Everybody's got like big piles of candy there. And then you'd walk, oh, only one. And then next thing you know, you've eaten like, you know, the right side of the table.
Every time you pass, you take one more.
You take one more. Like, that's enough. It's like the old thing with the donut. Put the donut there. Oh, just have half the donut. And then
you keep finding excuses to go over to the side of the newsroom that you people you never talk to, but all of a sudden you decide you're going to be friends with them that day because, you're collecting stuff from the table.
You're
nothing like
the
a radio
Skittles.
Station to like. I mean, it's like the goodwill of of food. Anybody can drop anything off and it'll get eaten, no matter what it is.
I am now sending Jacob and you, Sherry, a picture of Charlie with the pumpkin stuck on her head.
Is this is this kind of a blackmail picture now? Where she's a little embarrassed that she had a pumpkin on her head ever, and you can
no.
Oh, okay, good.
The thing about, if you start family traditions and they don't get a chance to talk to other families, they just assume everybody does that. So it's not like,
don't get
then
the
he
chance.
Stuck a pumpkin on my head. It was always like, then I got the pumpkin on my head. And you look around waiting for other people to affirm it like, yeah, me too. But then there's always this weird thing. Your family was weird.
They are grown up now, so I'm wondering if the comparing notes has started. Wait a minute, you didn't get 5 bags of carrots when you went trick-or-treating in the early days? Oh,
they know.
Dad didn't? Okay.
They know. Another picture of sending more Halloween fun. All right, how'd we get on that topic? Who knows? Whatever. I'd say I try to be impartial with news. You know how it is, Sherry. Try not to come down one side or the other, show your bias. But I have to tell you something. The bandits in this story, I have to give them some credit. I think this is a smart move.
You're actually on the side of the porch pirates?
Only because of the retaliation. No, I don't agree with porch pirates. I have experienced it before. I've had somebody steal stuff. I had somebody steal some huge thing from me, some big, heavy thing was out in front. They ripped that off. But I understand you do the thing to the porch pirates. I just like what the porch pirates did in return. I think that's the kind of thing you say. Like if they explain what they did, and then I'll tell you what you're supposed to say after the porch pirates do what they do.
Okay, so it's a neighborhood in South Austin, and they were experiencing a lot of theft. A lot of people were stealing packages, and this one woman got so upset that she decided she would play a trick on the porch pirates, and she would put all of her kids' dirty diapers in a box. They stole that, discovered what it was, didn't deter them. They came back and smeared the dirty diapers all over their front door and their car. Then
I don't agree with that. Is there sound as well on this, Jacob?
Yes.
Of any of the. There is. Okay.
It's officially fall in Central Texas, which, doesn't mean a ton because it's still 90 plus degrees outside. But people do now have holidays on the mind. For Gabriella, a mom, in this case, it's not a good thing.
We need to stop this now, especially before the holidays get started.
This is the this she's talking about.
Hitting in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, same car, same people.
They even tried to swipe her skeleton, which she now has chained to the house. She says at least 12 neighbors have told her the same people have hit their homes.
As a community, we are frustrated.
Nearby, Brittany Walker dealt with the same thing.
I see somebody with the big package. I just ran outside
and I just said,
I have a baby, and they look at me and they just left.
While Walker
on our front door.
Police say victims can legally confront these suspects, but...
Don't do it. Please don't confront a porch pirate.
At Gabriella's, the diaper debacle got worse.
They came back with a giant bag of cow manure, and so it was a really long day of cleaning a lot of cow feces off of our house that day.
But she says it was worth it.
But it's a tool for me. I have a toddler, I work full time, and I have another one on the way. So I use this as a survival tool.
There has to be an end. Hmm. It's just not okay in my book anymore.
And
in
you
her
still
book,
are on their
that's
side.
No. Well, I'm watching the video of them. So they took a big thing of manure and they put that on. So it's like she did the diapers. Then they retaliated by smearing the poopy diapers on. Not good. Then they did something. Then the homeowner did something. And then they came back with a giant thing of manure, right?
Yeah. So they're kind of winning. Because I don't know what else you can do to them other than try to get them arrested. But they can't really. What are they going to come back with? Like dog manure? Or, you know, how do you top that?
No, I think that's it. At that point, if she was a homeowner, you'd have to go, well, touche, my friend. Or well played, porch pirate, well played. That kind of thing. And then you just take the glove off and slap yourself with it or something like that. But no, it's nowhere. You can't go anywhere else from there. Big bag of manure. That's all you get. So, yeah. Now what is she going to do? Do the old electrical thing or the bomb or something like that?
It sounds like it's the same group over and over again. So you'd think you'd be able to set a trap for them somehow. I mean, if the video that they have with their, you know, doorbell or whatever they are, cameras, isn't enough for the police, they've got to, if there's 12 of them experiencing this, they've got to be able to get together and do something, right? Can't they come up with some clever way to try to snag these guys or
yeah,
women
what's the guy's name? The Home Alone kid. Can't they come up with a bag, like a can of paint to hit the guy in the head with or something like that?
Right. Something like that. You'd think that they would be able to do something. Yeah, there's 12
of them. Where's Macaulay Culkin? What's his name?
Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay?
What? Macaulay Culkin.
These Macaulay kids with their Culkin. Names nowadays. What is it?
Yeah, he's 60 now. Not these days. Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin. Macaulay Culkin.
42.
Yeah, he needs to be called in on this one.
Yeah. Hang something from somewhere and have it mm-hmm. swing down and hit somebody in the head.
Yeah.
With names, I'm always like, you ever take a trip, the Uber driver, used to be the taxi driver, like, what airline? And like, Alaska. They were always practicing their English. Alaska. That's where I am. Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay
Culkin.
Alaska.
Alaska.
Culkin.